You know, I was just thinking the other day about the time that three members of Victoria Council, including the mayor at the time, conspired and colluded for almost a year in secret to remove the statue of Sir John A. Macdonald, blindsiding us. The reason being, among others, to rip off the Band-Aid, and that if they had told us in advance what they were going to do, there might be a long, long, drawn-out, negative, acrimonious conversation. It's been going through my head a lot ever since I saw that missing middle thing on the agenda for the secret meeting that was held on Thursday without us knowing. And I'm thinking, again, I don't know for sure. We don't want to jump to conclusions. Be great if somebody could issue a statement or something, though, as soon as practicable. But what about the removal of the statue of Sir John A. Macdonald? Is that something that's actually catching on? Is that an actual legitimate social trend that we will see governments of all stripes, left, right, forward-thinking, traditionalist, etc., adopt in time? Well, it's interesting to actually look at the polling, and the numbers are higher than I thought they might be, but I suppose all of it needs to be viewed in context. Mario Canseco with Research Co. has been polling on the issue of Canada's colonialist and traditional icons, and for example, how many folks would support removing statues and images of Canada's first Prime Minister, Sir John A. Macdonald, due to, among many other things, the harmful history of Canada's Indian residential school program. Mario, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, Adam. Great to be here with you.
You know, we were the epicenter of national news coverage back in August 11th of 2018 because our city council had announced just a few days before that we were removing the statue of Sir John A. Macdonald for, I think it was 6 weeks or something, or some period of time so we could have a conversation and recontextualize it. Anyway, we never did put it back up. It lived in a crate at a City of Victoria facility, and it's actually been voted off the island at this point, so it's gone. It's not coming back. What do public polling numbers say about the process or the prospect of removing statues like this now?
Well, we don't see a significant level of support for doing this. We ask Canadians if they feel that all of the statues that they think John A. Macdonald should be removed from a public view. And there's only 32% who believe that that should be the case, 47% who disagree with this, and 20% who are undecided. So certainly, it's a very vocal minority that is calling for all of these statues to be removed. We certainly don't see Canadians believing that this is the right course of action. And there's also 54% of them who believe that the removal of these statues is an attack on Canadian history. So definitely not the type of situation that we might be led to believe going by social media standings.
When we take a look at any trends and any changes, how have the numbers moved over recent years, or do we have that data?
We haven't asked about this before. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to wait a little bit more with this is we did a lot of work related to reconciliation, asking questions about what to do and how to do it. I felt that asking about the removal of Sir John's statue immediately after it happened would be a little bit like chasing an ambulance. And now that we have a little bit more time, it's a little bit easier also for Canadians in other parts of the country to figure out what is going on. And we definitely see a little bit of a generational change. But it's not as if the 18 to 34 generation is saying topple all the statues. You know, it's definitely not as radical as some people believe.
What do you think might be behind that? Because, you know, given what I do see on social media, and especially a lot of young people today, I would have guessed that the university age type crowd would be all for pulling down the statues. And that's not what we're seeing.
It's not what we're seeing. I mean, it's certainly more likely to be supported by the youngest generation, but the numbers are not as dramatic as what we see with other things. And, you know, we've asked about climate change, we've asked about the energy, we've asked about other things, and you do have that generational component that is quite evident when you look at the numbers, especially when you compare baby boomers with those aged 18 to 34. Not on this one. I think there's definitely people who believe that this is something that they would like to see happening. But it's nowhere near the majority that some councils have acted upon. I mean, that is also part of what makes this compelling. The fact that you have councils acting on things like this when they were elected by a very low number of the people and without talking about this as one of their policy planks.
Yeah. I have somebody asking me, does this polling include First Nations, or is there a distinction? Is there a differentiation there? And do we have polling data on First Nations views of Sir John A. Macdonald versus the rest of the population?
The numbers are not that different. You know, it's one of those things where we always ask the question so we can have an opportunity to look at the way residents feel about issues by ethnicity. On this one, the changes weren't really that big. So it's mostly a lot of people who have a favorable view of him. 45% of Canadians say they have a favorable view of Sir John A. Macdonald. So it's not a situation right now where people are going, well, this is something that was terrible and should not have been allowed. It's more about a specific group that is particularly dissatisfied and who believe that this is the right course of action. Councils have acted upon this, not only in Victoria, but also in Charlottetown and in Kingston. And we know what happened with the statue in Montreal that was toppled by a mob. So this is a minority. I mean, when you look at this as a statistically significant matter, this is not something that most Canadians want to see happening, whether it's the mob or whether it's the councils.
It's very interesting, because I remember when it happened, you know, people that I know that are more involved with federal politics, like, nobody said anything publicly, but from what I heard, like, a lot of people looked at Victoria and went, oh, and it was this cringe, even among progressives, because we didn't want to go too far, they didn't want to go too far in terms of whipping up a lot of anger and vitriol and resistance, when I think the goal for everybody should be identifying wrongs that took place in terms of reconciliation and colonialism and addressing those as succinctly, not as succinctly, as adequately as we can. But, you know, just going all the way to ripping down the first prime minister and saying that, you know, the founding father of Canada cannot exist in public without being offensive. What does that say about literally everything else that grew out of that? Everything. It's just, I think that's part of the issue.
It is part of the issue. And one of the things that is really crucial here is whenever we ask about reconciliation, Canadians want to see action on things that can have an effect now. They want to see water clean, you know, clean water for all of these areas of the country. They want to see an effort towards reconciliation that is not based on toppling what is already there, but in enhancing the lives of everybody who's in the country. And to me, this is also part of it. You know, this is a distraction from all of the other things that we should be pressuring governments about. The federal government promised to give water that was, you know, good for everybody. And they haven't actually followed through on that promise. But here we are spending time on whether statues should be taken away from the people.
Now, I do see one interesting aspect of the data that I do want to touch upon before we wrap up. Positive opinions of Macdonald seem to peak 51% in Ontario, his home of Kingston, of course. That makes sense. They're lower in Alberta, 45, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, 44, Atlantic Canada, 43, Quebec, 42, British Columbia, 36%. So we are a little bit off center for the rest of the country on this. Your thoughts on that?
The numbers are extremely low. Even if we look at favorable views on Sir John, it's 23% in BC. It's the lowest in the entire country.
Wow.
Aside from Quebec, where it's at 20%. So a little bit of people who are undecided, but it's not as if people have a very favorable view of Sir John. And that's fine. You know, you're not going to have a survey that ends up with 100% liking a specific prime minister. What's really crucial here is he has higher favorability across the country than many other prime ministers that we tested, higher than Laurier, higher than Borden, higher than Saint Laurent. So it's not as if all of these people are immune to what happened with residential schools. For some reason, Sir John has become the lightning rod, partly because of the behavior of the city councils.
Interesting. Mario Canseco, pleasure as always, my friend. More information on the Research Co. website?
Yes, researchco.ca. That's the latest survey we have.
Mario Canseco, pleasure as always. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye now. I really like having a Research Co. on. They ask all these interesting questions, and they have this national panel that they can use for samples. And I find it really, you know, it's good for us to stay grounded when we have these debates. You know, I can feel very passionately about something, very strongly about something, and I can also not be in the majority. I can be in the minority. Well, pluralism is all about accepting minorities and elevating them to equal status with the majority, is it not? Like, is that not a virtue and a value that we have?